Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, June the 18th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostic. And this morning we are on page 46. And if you count down five lines, we start with, we looked askance, and we're reading down to, but it was fleeting and soon lost. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Chris W., 12 Traditions, Patsy M., and readers of the text, Reva P., Penny C., and Martha Z. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, June the 17th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23556. That's 23556. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 23557. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Chris W. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Lynn. Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville. And here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, or entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And continued to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Chris W. And Patsy M. is going to read the traditions. Welcome, Patsy.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Patsy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. To identify as compulsive readers only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year. For readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 46. And if you count down 5 lines from the top of the page, we're starting with We Looked Askance and reading to the end of that paragraph. And this morning, Reva P. is going to start us off. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. We looked askance at many individuals who claim to be godly. How could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? Yet in other moments, we found ourselves thinking, when enchanted by a starlit night, who then made all this? There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. Okay, so my name is Reva P. You know, this was a chapter that I actually skipped when I came in. And I went to straight, how does it work? And it didn't work to skip the chapter, I will tell you that. And it's still a chapter that I sometimes find hard to relate to. So for this half of the paragraph, the word askance, of course I looked it up, somebody who's looking at something with suspicion, distrust, or disapproval. You know, this whole section, what it speaks to me is, you know, I look at the sky and the stars and I think, oh yeah, there's a God, because who made this? And I'm in such awe. And then I look at other things and I think, well, how could there be a God if such and such is happening? And what this means to me is, you know, where am I willing to believe in a power greater than myself? And where am I not? And where am I thinking I still have to have a life, areas of my life, where self-will is going to work, Yeah, so where am I agnostic today? So when I came in, I had to have an open mind. I had to lay aside old ideas. It seemed very flimsy that this food problem that was torturing me, that was destroying my life, would be addressed by a spiritual answer. It seemed, inadequate for sure. But because I was in so much pain and because I had no other options and everything I was doing was not working, I was willing to try it, which meant I had to open my mind and just be willing to believe. And I had results in front of my face, demonstrations and the human beings that were recovered in the meetings, although nobody used that word back then. So I was willing to believe, but you know, today, where am I agnostic? There are still pockets of my life where I'm not always conscious, but I really doubt that God can take care of it. God can restore me to sanity. God can deal with it. So it's just a reminder to keep my mind open. And I don't have to understand God. I don't have to have this amazing definition. I have to just use the power and do the work to access the power. In this step, I just have to acknowledge that I need power, but I don't access power till step 11. And I don't really have a defined concept. I think that comes with the step work. It doesn't say I was agnostic. It says we agnostics, present tense. And it doesn't ask me if I am. It just assumes that I am, because I still am. And that's why I still have to do the work to seek the power in the nooks and crannies of my life. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada, for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Dorita P.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Okay, I heard Dorita P., Bonnie B., and is it Kim A.?
Yes.
Anna C.
Gotcha.
Kathy K.
Okay.
Sherry S.
All right, let me tell you who I have in case I miss somebody. I've got Dorita P., Bonnie B., Kim A., Karen C., Kathy K., and Sherry S. Did I miss anybody?
Shelley B.,
Shanna C.
Shelley B. and Shanna C. Okay, that's a great lineup to start with. Thank you very much. Dorita P., good morning.
Good morning. How are you? My name, I don't have time to listen. I'm sorry. My name is Dorita Pippen, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. Privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason. So I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yeah, looking askance. I think I know exactly who it was yesterday, but I don't want to say his name, or because I'm not going to quote him exactly, but Reva alluded to it also about this power. You know, I consider myself spiritual and very godly, but I'm still eating. You know, it's not as bad as when I first came in, but I'm not losing weight. I'm kind of sort of like maintaining. And I'm at a high weight, and I shouldn't be maintaining a high weight. I should be losing down to a normal weight. That I do know about abstinence. And but I'm really grateful. And you know, so this power, I just need a power that's going to relieve me of this food addiction. You know, I might believe that this power can help me with this or help me with that. But the first step is the only step that I understand that we have to do 100%. Step one, I have to know without a shadow of a doubt that I am powerless over food. Doesn't matter what anybody else say or think. Because I had so many people in my life say, well, Dorita, you're okay. You know, you're decent size, you know, especially guys, you know, and I'm African-American or black. And so, you know, they like kind of like thick women. That's what I would have been called, thick. But it's unhealthy. I don't care what it really looked like, but it's unhealthy. It was unhealthy. It is unhealthy. But I'll just close with this, saying that I'm on this fence, though, that, you know, do I need to do it exactly how I did it before? Because I lost 120 pounds back in 2007, and it was off for 14 years. So do I need to do it exactly like I did it last time? And, you know, well, when I talk about God and when I fellowship with people about God, I'm not even interested in food. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just really grateful for this program that allows me to that helps me to figure it out, and I could keep coming back until I figure it out. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Bonnie B. Good morning, followed by Kim A. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opening share. Beautiful. Thanks for the share, as always. Bonnie B. From Florida, currently living in Minnesota, a true compulsive overeater at my core. Love this chapter. Absolutely love, love, love this chapter, and didn't love it when I first came in. It threatened my belief system, if I'm honest. So interesting. I can see myself in this paragraph along with all the other paragraphs. And I think that's the gift of this program, is to look inward for me. And I ask myself why. Now, I came in as a believer, a strong faith, and there have been times where I have done exactly what this talks about. I used to walk really early in the morning when it was dark out, and I would look up into the heavens and I would think, wow, this is amazing. And be so overwhelmed by the bigness of my God. And when I would focus on his loving kindness and the things that he has done for me and for our family and for others that I care so deeply about, again, so moved. And then when something would happen in my world that would be highly uncomfortable, my phrase is, I wouldn't feel warm and fuzzy anymore, I would question God. I would say, where are you? Where are you? How could you have allowed this to happen? We love you. We serve you. Here's my reality. I want a God that performs and gives me a Hallmark movie. But I live in a broken world. I'm broken. I'm surrounded by people that are broken. And when things happen that challenge my thinking, I question the creator of the heavens and the earth. But again, where is my God? He's where he's always been. In this program, where is God? He's in the next breath. He's right here. He's never left me. It's just that I have the illusion. I live in a delusional world that I should be given everything I want. And that's not the reality of it. I'm living today by the grace of God, free from something that has held me in bondage my entire life. I'm living between what I call the two Edens in a broken world. And so the greatest gift that I've been given, one of them in this program, is acceptance and surrender. I don't get to call the shots. I just get to run back to God and say, God, it's yours. I offer it to you. Help me to best serve you as I go through this thing I call life. I still believe in God, and I believe that he's loving and kind and cares for me, but I accept today for what today is and ask to be of service to him in it. Grateful to be part of this program and grateful for each and every one of you, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks again.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next up, we have Kim A, followed by Karen C. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. This is Kim A from New York City. You know, sometimes we can look at some of these chapters in the first 164 pages through a bit of a different lens than what they were originally intended. Like some of the later chapters, we can read as a sponsor, right? And how we can help our proteges rather than maybe the wife of an alcoholic, right? And so this chapter too, like, of course, it's a surface. It's written for people that aren't really clear on whether or not there's a higher power. And they're, you know, it's kind of, it's describing their thought process and how they may be able to get beyond their thought process. But if we dig a little bit more and look at it through a different lens, it's really about fixed ideas, right? It's about we all come to this program with, as they say in the beginning of this paragraph, prejudice, right? We have fixed ideas. And this chapter is just asking us to maybe like crack our minds open a little bit to look beyond these fixed ideas and accept that maybe there's a different way of thinking, right? And these fixed ideas, they could be about food, right? How many years did I struggle to find the right food plan, to eliminate the right ingredients, to, you know, do these things over and over and over to try to control and manage my food? They weren't working. They never worked for me, but I had this fixed idea that that's what I needed to do in order to recover. And it wasn't until I cracked my mind open that, you know, I learned there was a different way that I could go about doing it, right? It's about our ego. It's about our fear. And fixed ideas could be about anything in life, right? Because even though this is step two we're talking about, when the book talks about step three in the next chapter, we learn all about how, you know, we want to be the director. We think that instead of playing this bit part in life like a shrub, right, we're supposed to rise above the other shrubs, that we're more important and powerful than all the other shrubs in the world, and we're going to put on our director's hat. Right, so we have all these fixed ideas about how our way of thinking is the right way of thinking. And if we could just get the world on board with our way of thinking, that we know what other people should do and what they should eat and what they should say. And, you know, so in this chapter, they're kind of systematically going through what our objections might be to believing in a higher power and explaining that, like, well, if you look at it a little bit differently, you can see that maybe all along, right, you have this way of thinking that it can apply in a different way. And so we can use this paragraph. Thanks. We can use this chapter in a lot of different ways. I'll pass with that. This is Kim A. in New York City. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim A. Karen C., good morning, followed by Kathy K. Hi, Karen. Karen, please press star 1 to unmute. Okay, how about we move on to Kathy K? We'll come back to Karen. Kathy, are you available?
Good morning, Lynn. This is Kathy K, a compulsive overeater from the Boston area.
Good morning.
I'm so grateful to be on the meeting today and to be reminded of my own agnosticism. You know, I came into this program 30 some odd years ago, confirmed agnostic, and it has been a very long journey of becoming open-minded and willing and challenging my old beliefs. And finally, over the last few years, I've become connected with my higher power, who I now choose to call God. And I can forget often. That's why I come to meetings so often, because my old thinking is my default. And if I find myself in a challenging situation, sometimes I go to despair before I remember all I need to do is go to God and to sit still and ask for guidance and listen. And this is the miracle of step 2 and 3 and 11. We can really practice on a daily basis, turning to God and bringing a power into our lives that at least I didn't have until I became willing. And I'm so grateful for all of your help and your shares. So helpful to me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. from Boston. We'll move down to Sherry S. now, and then we'll try Karen C. again. So Sherry, good morning.
Sherry S. from Wisconsin. Thank you all for your service. When I first came back from many years of relapse, I didn't really understand this chapter. And in the 2.5 years that I've been back, this chapter continues to become one of my favorite chapters, because it helps me understand why I struggled to, it helps me understand why I struggled for many, many years. We talk about agnosticism, and I always had a spiritual belief. I always had a higher power. That wasn't the issue. But I would take my will back so often in so many areas of my life that, and it didn't correlate till I started to study the big book, those are those pockets of agnosticism and disbelief. Because I thought, there's me thinking again, which is the whole problem, I could manage my life. And now that I'm abstinent, now that I'm recovered, now that I have serenity, I see I have no control over anything in my life. And the best thing I can do is turn my entire life over to God. By doing that, I don't have the expectations that I used to have. I don't get the anger that I used to have. I let things flow as they go. And God has given me a life beyond what I ever thought I could have. It's amazing. So if anyone is out there struggling, honestly giving up my life to my higher power was the best thing that I could ever do. And it took me decades to figure that out. So hopefully you don't have to do decades. And hopefully listening to this and hearing other people share their experience, strength, and hope, and how these pockets of agnosticism come up will help you. And that's all I have. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry. Yes. All right. Karen C., are you available to share with us now, please?
Can I have Sherry S.'s state, please?
Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Okay, perhaps I misheard and there is no Karen C., so let's move on to, now, is it Shelley B.?
Yes, Shelley B. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Shelley B. in Iowa. Grateful to be here today. You know, I am so grateful for this chapter and this time through it. I feel like I am just learning so much more about my own agnosticism. And, you know, when I got here, I was like, I've got this God thing. I've been sober for blah, 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 blah. But you know what? The credits don't transfer. And food is a whole different story. I'm learning, and every single day I'm learning more, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, what got me abstinent a year ago isn't necessarily working today. And so I have to continuously raise my spiritual bar. And just to be open and willing to do that has been a miracle for me. I don't want to sit complacent. And I think a lot of that has to do with action. You know, and I know in that action, it helps me get closer to my higher power. It helps me to stop and pause and rely on a power greater than myself. And that action includes, you know, getting up early in the morning and connecting with a higher power, talking to him throughout the day or her, however you want to look at it, you know, making some phone calls to other people in program who are on the same path with me, doing inventories, working with others. I'm so grateful for all of it. And I've heard this shared before that the action seems overwhelming, but when we let God take care of that, there's time for all of it and so much more. You know, I just heard it said, I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams. And yes, like I can't believe how good it is right now. And yet I know it can be even better. And that all comes from how can I best be of service to God and my fellow man. And so I'm really grateful for this chapter and for everyone's insight on this agnosticism, because I learn more and more, you know, how much I still have to learn, how many old ideas I still have to get rid of. And it's good. So I thank you all, and I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much, Shelley B. from Iowa. Shanna C., good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace and mercy in this program and people who are willing to share the solution with me. And I couldn't be more grateful. Grateful for this paragraph. And again, what I'm taken back to, and it's kind of been the theme this week of what, yes, for me, definitely, when I was beaten into that state of reasonableness, and this disease is so freaking painful, that feeling of absolute desperation, and I'm not even being dramatic here. I mean, it's just like something I never, ever want to experience ever again. It's just, and the gift that I can even halfway remember the pain and suffering of it is truly a gift. And it's, oh, but you know, that's that fear and stuff only keeps me sober for just a bit. And step two is actually when I become that, well, let me back up. Step one, when I find I cannot quit eating entirely, or if when I'm eating, I have little control over the amount I take, means I'm suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. You know, and I'm taken back to the main idea. If we go back to even Bill's story on page 12, where he, you know, talks about how when he wandered outside of the cathedral and he saw the doggerel on a tombstone, he was much moved and all of this stuff. And then that was blotted out by worldly calamities and all of the things, you know, and then on throughout the rest of the book, where it talks about how somehow that feeling of awe and wonder, that need, I knew that moment I needed and wanted God. And when I needed and wanted God, he came. And there's parts in the book where it says, you know, he comes to those who honestly seek, you know, that's, and the deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God, and is only there he may be found. And it's like, I've had so many moments throughout my life where that just seems almost like wishful thinking. Or I would see people that seemed like they had all their stuff together, whether it be eating, whether they be successful, whatever it is. I wanted what they had, but I'm looking at them with a side eye, because I look at everything with a side eye. I look at God with the side eye, the askance, the skepticism. Why? Because I can't see anything past myself. I'm blind when I'm spiritually unfit, but I don't know I'm blind. And I'm living life as a blind person, stepping on everybody and everything and blaming them. And especially all the inventories I've taken over the years, even being brought up in a religious denomination, talk about old ideas and being wrong, me twisting things around in my head, being wrong about a lot of things. Thank God someone mentioned that. You know, how many inventories did I take that had everybody on blaming everybody, especially God, that I didn't have the enemy on there. You know, I've come from a religious denomination that believes in the devil, and I've never once had the devil on there. That's kind of messed up. Just saying. My thinking is off, and everybody else, I looked at everything and everyone with a side eye until I got that gift of desperation where everything hurt and I was willing, beaten to that state of reasonableness where I was willing to set aside old ideas and take different action. And then also...
Time, please.
Thank you so much. I'll finish up with, I'm just grateful that with step two, all I got to do is be willing to believe that there is one and be willing to believe this program can work. That's where I find power to start this thing. And then more is always revealed, and I'm grateful for it. That's all I have. Thanks, Lynn.
And where are you calling from, Shanna, please?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Shanna C. from Tennessee. You think I'd remember that by now. All right. Thank you, Shanna C.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
For those of us who might have come on a little bit later this morning, we are continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostic, on page 46. If you count five lines down from the top of the page, we looked askance, and we're reading to the end of that paragraph. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share as well. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Michelle M.
Michelle M.
Lisa M.
Lisa M. Pedro B.
Sim B.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sima.
It's okay.
Sim B. Yeah, I'll get that one of these times, Sim. Thank you.
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Okay, I've got Michelle M. Now, I wrote down Lynn M. I'm not sure that's right. Sim B and Teresa C. Who was that other lady? Was it Lynn M?
Lisa N?
Lisa N.
You
sorry,
know, I'm actually, that's okay. I'm not good. Where am I in the lineup? I'm sorry.
You're second.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Anybody else this morning? Okay, let's start off with that and we'll see how we do. Michelle M., good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Lynn, voice wrangler extraordinaire. Thank you for your service. This is Michelle M., recovered in Arizona. You know, I was really struck this morning, and because this chapter was just so elusive to me, it was so elusive, you know, and I've been in the rooms for a long time, and, you know, I thought that just crossing over from, you know, another 12-step group where I had long periods of, I don't even know if it was recovery, because I have been so addicted to human aid, and that human aid was that external validation. Because I was like such an amoeba. I was like a complete amoeba. And going through the steps this last time, my sponsor really took me through to a point where we had to kind of stay on the fixed ideas because I was so stuck there. You know, I thought fixed ideas didn't have anything to do with my concept of a higher power. And it was a turning point for me in my recovery. And, you know, and it still is. And what I know about me and my reliance on a power greater than myself is that I was so stuck. I was fixed. And when I'm stuck and when I'm fixed, that is 100% self-centeredness. And if I'm stuck there, nothing can come through. It's like, I've got a steel wall around me. And it's not intentional. It's like, it's just like a part of my DNA. But the good news is that I get to change those. I get to change that. And I can notice now in my daily life where I become disconnected is when I'm ruminating about the past or when I'm fixated on the future. And when I'm doing that and using fear as a form of control, rather than just look at the moment as where I am right now. And right now, I am in a meeting with my people. You know, and I'm feeling very, very connected because I'm in the moment, not fixed on other things. And when I'm not fixed and my ears are open, I get to hear all of you. And it's just been a tremendous message, and I'm very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Michelle M. from Arizona. Lisa N., it's your turn, followed by Sim B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for taking the meeting this morning. Good morning, everyone. I just want to say that today I'm on the way to a trip to visit an uncle of my husband's. And years ago, I was unhappy with the way he behaved. And I thought that I was a believer, but I really wasn't. It was before this workshop, or before this meeting, I should say. And I really was resentful of something he did. And it was a small thing, but I came home and I overate. And I realized what I had done. And it took me a long time before I understood why I overate over that resentment. But today I'm going to visit him. His wife passed away a couple weeks ago. And I have love in my heart for him. And that can only be that divine love inside of me that has changed me with this program, and especially this meeting. I've learned so much from everyone, and I'm so grateful to go there with a different attitude and a plan, and my own food that I can eat on the plane, and a plan for restaurants. And I mean, it's just a miracle. And so, I take back my will sometime. I'm a human being, but and the changes that have been made are absolutely miraculous. So if you're new, keep coming back. And thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you, Lisa. And where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Fantastic. Thank you, Lisa. Next, we have Sim B, followed by Teresa C. Good morning, Sim. Tim, please press *1 to unmute.
There I am. Thank you.
There you are.
Yeah, Sim, perfectly imperfect. Recovering with your help. Thank you. Just was able to hop on, so I'll just acknowledge I'm not fully present to the reading today. And thank you for everyone's service and forgiveness and I will do my best to get on earlier so I'm present with what is being fully read. So for me today, what I'm seeing is, I'll just name in the personal realm, like when there's sickness in my family or I feel some sickness, which there happens to be, you know, that's when the big book makes a lot of sense to me. there's a seeing of like the sickness of the body and the sickness of the mind, just like mirrored right back to me. And so I'm just waking up into that of just feeling the humility and drinking that humility again and again, that I'm powerless. I'm powerless over this disease. And I'm powerless over what it is to be a human being, that it's uncomfortable to be human. And it's also a great gift. so straddling both of those worlds is, I think that's where, as long as I can stay in communication with God and asking for guidance when I start grasping for a comfort rather than embracing what is, and reaching out to, you know, all of, well, I wish I could reach out to all of you at the same time, but reaching out so that I don't need to be alone in it, because I think that's also, at least as like a male informed human being and the conditioning of being alone as like that's the norm and that's what I was taught I need to do. And if I can't handle myself by myself, that, you know, I'm weak or blah, 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 you know, it means something about me. And I think that's the hardest part in recovering right now is facing this sense of like masculinity and the mask of it, of really seeing that I'm torturing myself by not allowing myself to receive help, and I get to be the person who reaches out instead of pretending that, you know, perfect is the way. It doesn't seem to be working. So with that, I'll just say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the graciousness you all offer me in listening to me this morning. And may we continue to recover together and shine our light. Thank you.
Thank you, Sim B. Teresa C., good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Teresa C., recovered compulsive overeater through the grace of God, living in New Jersey. Thank everyone for their service, and welcome to the newcomers. Reading this just made me think about, like, kind of the indecision of things. And I have this image I just remember. It's so weird, like standing in my kitchen, having kind of the same conversation, like, is there a God or isn't there? How do people know? What? How do they get this faith? Just doing a lot of questioning and you know, wondering how I'm going to find the answer to that. But I guess I came to the conclusion in the end when I thought about it and thinking about, you know, the wonderful things and then the other thing and the not so wonderful things that happen in this world. I just thought if I just remember my history lessons, there's always been some sense of a higher power. And, you know, the cave drawings, if we're talking about the first evidence of, human writing with through pictures and everything, you know, that higher power is there. It's been there through all kinds of generations and every country. And I'm like, seems like maybe there's something there. And that's what kind of, helped me to come along in my spiritual journey. And I guess I'll just pass on that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Teresa C. from New Jersey. We've got time for two more shares. Who would like that time, please? Anybody?
Maisie from Massachusetts, Maisie C.
Maisie C. from Massachusetts. And is there anyone else who'd like to share this morning? sorry, I missed that.
Melissa F.
Melissa S or F. Great. Okay, Maisie C, good morning. Please share.
Thank you. Thank you for your service and everybody for being here. I got to get honest with myself. I haven't been here for a little bit. I've been doing a prayer time, and my sponsor said, have you been going to vision? I said, not lately. So here I am, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank God I'm abstinent. And as far as God and my higher power, I've always believed there was a God. I just didn't believe God was there for me. So, you know, I was a narcissist, just doing my own thing, going about my business. I can do this. I got this. Well, I started program 26 years ago, and I've been going around that Ferris wheel, around that mountain, around and around, you know, absent, not absent. And I said, you know, what's going on? I believe in God. I know God is there for me. Why can't I get it? Hello? Why can't you get it? Because you don't ask. You know, like Matthew 7:7, knock and the door shall be open, ask and I shall receive, seek and I shall find. I wasn't doing that because I said, I was talking out of both sides of my mouth. I wanted abstinence, but I wanted it my way. And I wanted to pick and choose. And if I knew, if I asked God, somebody's unmuted, I think. I knew if I asked God for help, I'd get it. God doesn't always give us what we ask for, but he always gives us what we need. And I know he gives it to me when I ask. Because when I started asking, God, I'm sick and tired of this. I can't do this anymore. Please help me to be abstinent and be free of this bondage of self that I'm tearing myself apart physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You know, today's my birthday, and it's like I'm going out with some relatives, and I, you know, I go to a 5:30 Christian meeting, and I ask for prayer for, you know, just help me to make sure that this year I'm not going to be celebrating my birthday with food. I'm going to be celebrating it with life and thanking God for my life. And I'm just so grateful that he loves me unconditionally. He's just waiting in the sideline for me to come to him, for me to ask, for me to reach out and admit I can't, he can, and I'm going to let him. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much. You all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie C. from Massachusetts. And Melissa S., you're going to finish us out, please. Good morning.
Hi, this is Melissa S. from New Jersey. Hope this isn't crosstalk, but happy birthday to the last speaker. I wasn't sure what I really wanted to share, but the sharing, well, there was open, and you, I just want to claim my seat because I keep showing up here, and it's important to claim your seat and to do service, and I get so much from this meeting and from everyone shares, and thank you, everyone. I saw on one of my kids' status, they were taking all these pictures and included like the barbecue that we had, and suddenly there was a picture of my plate, and it said under it portion control. And I don't think they had any intention of making fun of me or anything else, but I was like, hey, I got this. Look, I'm even getting noticed by my adult children, and I don't talk about this with anyone in my family at all. I don't know if it's, I don't know what I'm hiding. I don't know if it's shame. I don't know if it's, I don't know. And back to the reading, I got a lot of God in my life. And I got a lot of control in my life at the same time. Like, part of me pretends at times that I'm not being honest with myself that God's running the show, because I keep showing up trying to control things and not giving it over to God. So that's why I keep coming back, and I keep having to reset because I am not, I say I'm abstinent, but I eat this or I eat that, and well, that's not being abstinent. It's either you are or you aren't. And I think it's taken me some time to realize that, just that, if you either are or you aren't. And, you know, it just definitely gets confusing with food because it's not like you can just stop eating. You got to figure out how this works within plan and within yourself and with and you just got to keep asking God for help. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask God to help me make this great day, stick to my plan, stay with my abstinence. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Melissa S. from New Jersey, for closing us out. And thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Thursday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Thursday, June the 18th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23559. That's 23559. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Penny C. is going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Hi, Penny.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much. Oh, we love you. our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you have in God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until